All righty, this is our appointed time for our prayer as a body here, and look forward to this time every month, and trust that it is profitable to us. Some of these songs that we sing, in fact, most of the songs that we sing, the hymns, are some form of prayer. At least they express, I trust, the thoughts, the desires, and the expectations, and the blessings, and the praise of our hearts. And speaking about prayer, that last song that we sang, that last hymn that we sang this morning, we've sang that how many times over the years? A great number of times, and it's always been a blessing. But I think I looked at it today as we sang that song. I looked at it today in a way that I've never, I guess in a depth, that I've never looked at it or seen it before. And then, Brother Dale, when you repeated it in your prayer, I can't say how much I was blessed. And I'm still rejoicing in it. It is a great hymn. And I thank the Lord that He inspired whoever it was. I don't remember who wrote it. But that really isn't important, is it? What's important is that the Lord gave it to us. And He gives us all of these amazing hymns that we might have somewhat of a way to express those thoughts and praises and joy that is in our hearts. But prayer. Prayer is an amazing thing. And I do believe that it comes more or less naturally to a child of God. But we grow in prayer. A lot of our prayers, when we start out and when we're young in the Christian faith, it's like everything else. About the Christian faith, it can be somewhat the term that we might use there, just learned. From listening to others, you know, we pray others' prayers. But as we grow in grace and in knowledge, they become more and more our own from the depths of our own hearts. And they're revealing unto us. They are pleasing to God, our Father, and our Savior. And they are very useful. They are very necessary to our Christian life. And for the most part, our prayers are between us and God. JT was talking about that thing about a personal Savior. Certainly, in this in prayer life, that is so. The very greatest part of our prayer life is that which we spend just between us and our Lord. No one else entering into our thoughts, our desires. I mean, when we're in our closet, that's when we can really open up and be completely honest with our Lord. For one reason, because there's nobody else to see us. So who are we going to impress? It's just us and God. And it becomes so easy to just also confess our sins. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't confess them one to another. And I believe in prayer we do that very often. And we're told to do that. Confess your faults one to another. One thing about doing that, it sure will keep you from being too lifted up in pride, won't it? And it will also keep you from falsely judging your neighbor. But prayer is enjoined, we are enjoined to prayer by many places, many scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to read a few scriptures here, not many. Beginning at verse 6, he says, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. What a thought. The gospel was preached to men that were dead. But there's a reason for it, that we might live unto God. But verse 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now we could continue reading there, but my thoughts come back first to verse 7. The end of all things is at hand, Peter says. And we do know that the end began with the coming of Christ. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all things, really. And he has brought upon us the end of the world, the apostle says. Been a long end, hasn't it? But it is the end. But there again is the reason why we're not so enamored by all of these prophets that know the exact day that Christ is going to come back. Is why that we are always, not just sometimes, but we're always aware that the coming of Christ is going to be at the exact time that God set it, and that that could be today. The end of all things is at hand. And here's the thing that we really ought to be concerned about. He says here that we're to be sober and watch unto prayer. Now, in the Olivet Discourse, one of the main things that Christ impresses us with there is prayer and watching for His coming in a state of soberness, because the truth is, we're told also that when He is least expected, that's when He's going to come. You know, it's kind of like a watch pot. What do they say about a watch pot? Never boils. But turn your eyes away from it, and lo and behold, seems like it takes no time at all. But it's also, you know, you can look for someone to come. You know they're coming. And you can look for them and look for them and look for them. And then when you give up, just about the time you give up and you think, well, maybe something happened, here they come. But in this particular case, what we're warned against, again, is dropping our guard and taking up too much with the things of the world and not the things of Christ. And so it is, as he continues this in verse 8, 9, 10, and so forth, here's the thing. Watching unto prayer, being sober and watching unto prayer, he is not, again, just giving us an out that we just verbalize something, that our prayers are just words. If our prayers mean anything, then we will have this fervent charity, love amongst ourselves, because it covers the multitude of sins. And of course, James says the same thing in chapter 5 and verse 20. But he used hospitality one to another without grudging. You know, it's kind of bad, isn't it, to be hospitable to someone, and then when they leave, what do? Start griping and complaining about it? Well, there's not much virtue in that, is there? And every man, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, when we are sober, watching unto prayer, then there is something that will accompany and follow those prayers. They're not just words. They're a living testimony to our relationship with the Lord, which that relationship with the Lord is only manifest, really, in our relationship to one another. We are to love one another as God loved us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Watching, though, unto prayer, be sober. JT was talking this morning about seriousness. How can you express that sincerely or How can you emphasize that enough in words? But it is our actions, the way that we live our lives in relation to one another, that really reveals our soberness. Do we care for one another? If our lives are loose, is that caring for one another? Or should we set a good example to one another? Do we care for one another when we go about being careless? No, it's only as we're sober-minded, always understanding that there is such a thing as giving an offense. Give no offense. The apostle tells us that, right? Neither to the Greek, barbarian, but neither to the church of God, right? We're not to do this. But if we are not serious, it's inevitable that our lives will not reflect that soberness or seriousness. Watching unto prayer. And the idea is somewhat as the psalmist would say, mine eyes prevented what? The night watches, that I might meditate upon thy word. So as we go into this session of prayer, I trust that first of all, we are aware that the end, right, of all things is at hand. That's a pretty serious thought, isn't it? If it's not, it ought to be. Because if you do not have those thoughts, and unless God changes your thoughts, you will be caught unawares. Christ will come back in a time when you're not looking for Him. And what does He say? You'll be cut asunder. So as we go into this season of prayer, this session of prayer, let us be mindful that there's something very important here, that the end of all things is at hand, and that what we're doing is not just going through the motions of making and saying prayers, but we are anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory and to the perfection of His saints. So let's pray, and yes, open our hearts up to God, that He might indeed cleanse us of all sin, of all iniquity, then that He might instill within us the love of Christ toward one another, that the church might be pure and holy and pleasing to God. Lord, help us.